Brian Troutman is a professor at Hudson Valley Community College and president of our local chapter of Veterans for Peace. Brian joins us now via phone. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, and tell us a little bit about Veterans for Peace.
Well, I think I should begin by giving a little background on my veteran status, and that then would give you good insight as to why I joined Veterans for Peace and what the organization is all about. I'm a post-Cold War Army veteran who served 4 years on active duty during the 1990s. And I've been an educator for about two decades now, including teaching peace studies for approximately 8 years. I currently teach economics and the humanities, both through Hudson Valley Community College and online as well. And I've connected with the Sanctuary for Independent Media some 9 years ago as a volunteer, and I want to add that I'm also proudly a sustaining donor of the Sanctuary. I discovered Veterans for Peace about 8 years ago. We're an international nonprofit organization founded in 1985 with the mission of educating on the human and financial costs of war in order to end militarism and abolish war as instruments of national policy. We aim to replace our long-standing war culture and war economy by helping to build a more just, peaceful, and sustainable world. As part of our mission as well, we seek justice for victims of war on all sides, so that includes veterans and civilians that are caught up in war. Now, I should add that toward achieving these ends, we use strictly nonviolent means. So nonviolent direct action methods, from nonviolent protest to nonviolent resistance. Our national office is located in St. Louis, and we have approximately 3,000 active members. We welcome both veterans and non-veterans of all generations. So that's one, I think, thing that makes us stand out as a veterans organization, is that we do work with allies that are non-veterans, and we welcome them to our organization. We have about 120 chapters across the country and internationally, including one here in the Capital District, as you mentioned during your introduction. I just recently became president of that chapter.
Congratulations.
Some of our international chapters include the UK, Vietnam, Okinawa, Japan, Mexico. So we are represented broadly, again, across the world. And we work very closely with those chapters and participate in their conferences and actions that they have abroad as well on behalf of our mission. I'm a lifetime member of Veterans for Peace as of last year. Anybody can become either an annual member or a lifetime member. I joined the national board, and that's the role that I currently have with the organization 3 years ago. And during that time, I served as treasurer for 1 year. And during my time on the board, and this gives you some insight into some of our actions, I worked on the Standing Rock Coordinating Committee, physically participating in Standing Rock. I visited Standing Rock in 2016, and for audience members who are unfamiliar with Standing Rock, it was a Native-led resistance against the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota about 2 years ago. We have a number of national projects that I work with through Veterans for Peace, including a project called Veterans Challenge Islamophobia, which some of your listeners may be familiar with, since we did some local actions within the past couple of years. And this was meant to challenge, counter anti-Muslim hate and bigotry. We held a voter registration drive outside of a local mosque, so that was part of our actions to combat Islamophobia. Currently, we're working on developing a Veterans Peace Conference, International Veterans Peace Conference, that we plan to hold next year in New York City. We are working with the United Nations in order to gain space to hold a portion of our conference at the United Nations. So that gives you some background and some current detail in terms of what our organization is about and what we're involved in.
Wow. So there's a lot going on there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I just touched on some of our national projects. Others are listed, of course, at our website, veteransforpeace.org. And they range from I mentioned the Veterans Challenge Islamophobia campaign. We also have a sailboat that our organization is in the process of becoming full owners of. We've managed this project through our organization for a number of years. It's called the Golden Rule anti-nuclear sailboat. And again, some of your listeners may be familiar with the Golden Rule. It's decades old. It originally ran to stop nuclear testing back in the 1950s. And just within the past decade, it has been recovered and restored, and it's again sailing. We're sailing it off the West Coast to Hawaii and the Marshall Islands very soon. And we hope then to bring it over to Okinawa, Korea, Japan. And again, promoting anti-nuclear work to abolish nuclear weapons and educate on the effects of radiation to both humanity and the environment. So this is our Golden Rule Peace Boat is a great symbolic effort that increases our recognition of our effort to abolish nuclear weapons.
We'd like to remind you that you're listening to Brian Troutman. Brian is a professor at Hudson Valley Community College and president of our local chapter of Veterans for Peace. Brian, there are plenty of veterans probably listening now. And what can you speak specifically to them and tell them how they can become more participatory in Veterans for Peace?
Absolutely. One of my short-term goals within the chapter as a new president is to rebuild the chapter. It's fallen a bit on the dormant side, unfortunately. However, our goal, both myself and our previous president, John Amidon, and other active members, is to gain new members. So that's the goal, primary goal in the short term. But we participate in activities locally, such as the Veterans Day Parade, Memorial Day Parade. We're also involved in actions at various rallies for peace and social justice, environmental justice. We protest drone activity through the Hancock Air Force Base in Syracuse. Essentially what folks could do if they're interested is they can contact Veterans for Peace directly. There's a membership form at our website, veteransforpeace.org, or they can contact me directly for information on how to become a member or to at least find out more information about us. I can provide my email address if you'd like, and then we go from there.
Please do.
It is Troutman, T-R-A-U-T-M-A-N, at veteransforpeace.org.
Great, thank you. I was wondering if in your organization's vision for like a world in which we do not use war to resolve our differences, what would we use instead, ideally?
Well, essentially, open communication, nonviolent communication. We have to open up diplomatic channels between the various parties involved in conflict. We have to prevent conflict by using means that can prevent the sort of vitriolic and negative energy that seems to persist between various parties, both at the national level and at the organizational level, really institutionally. There are various forms of violence that exist. So we attempt to resolve conflicts without violence. To speak to that point more broadly, we do have a philosophy, a campaign, if you will, at Veterans for Peace called Peace at Home, Peace Abroad, which essentially means that in order to fulfill our mission of ending war and healing the wounds of war, We recognize that violence is a national epidemic. It's a global epidemic. And we also have to recognize that these various systems of violence and injustice, oppression, are linked between our domestic problems and our international problems. We see the direct connection between violence and militarization of various systems here at home with our wars and militarism abroad, imperialist militarism. So that's essentially, we find that, and we make the comparison with countries that have essentially abolished their military or have promoted a policy of domestic and foreign policy of peace. We cite Costa Rica. We cite some of the Scandinavian countries as prime examples of that effort and their ability to maintain a military, yet also not engage in the sort of belligerent activities that cause violence.
So it sounds like you see a really interesting link between just domestic culture and foreign policy.
Indeed.
We are down about our last minute. Would you like to speak on any, we leave it open to you to touch on any subject that you haven't been able to talk about yet?
Well, just lastly, this year we're marking the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. So our national conference this year, which was held this past August in St. Paul, Minnesota, was focused on a theme of reclaiming Armistice Day. For your listeners who are unfamiliar with Armistice Day, this was a day that was supposed to be dedicated to peace during World War I, and after World War II, through President Eisenhower and Congress, it was rebranded as Veterans Day, November 11th. Mm. So we're trying to educate the population about the original meaning of November 11th. And how we need to honor peace and efforts for peace rather than honor military and glorifying war.
Wow.
So again, we're trying to educate on the true intention behind November 11th. So efforts surrounding November 11th will be dedicated to that activity. And just one last thing, we're participating in an activity called the Women's March on the Pentagon, which is taking place October 21st. Mm-hmm. In D.C. With a number of other organizations, which is an effort to, again, educate on the human and financial costs of war and to hopefully end war as an instrument of national policy.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was Brian Troutman, professor at Hudson Valley Community College and president of our local chapter of Veterans for Peace.